spiritually. And for the last several weeks, we've looked at different aspects of this spiritual stability. Philippians chapter 4 has been dealing with it. We talked about rejoicing in the Lord. We talked about being gentle, being gracious. We spoke about what those things do to create a spiritual stability for us. Also about being aware that Christ is coming again and how that even creates a wonderful spiritual stability in our lives. This week we're going to actually look at three things as we look at Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Now this is a semi-famous passage, I imagine, among many Christians. A lot of young Christians who begin to grow in the Lord and begin to understand what it means to pray, they'll usually memorize these verses. They say, and let me read them to you. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And so what we're going to talk about is three things that are covered in this particular passage. We're going to talk about how in order to be spiritually stable, we need to understand that the spiritually stable life is a worry-free, praying, and therefore peaceful life. And actually, each one of these kind of builds on the last one. It starts with being worry-free, then it moves toward the fact that we need to pray, and then in the end, it moves all the way out into the idea of being peaceful and enjoying peace with God. Want to take a look at these. First, let's take a look at this. What does it mean to be worry-free? Well, it says in this passage, be anxious for nothing. And actually, the literal statement there is, have cares for nothing. And we see this, and when you deal with this biblically, you come to this conclusion, and the conclusion is this. There are two kinds of worry. There are two kinds of care. There are two kinds of concern that exist in the world, and what I would call it is constructive concern and then destructive concern. When you have a constructive concern, you realize this, the verb that is used here, be careful or be anxious for nothing, these are both used. This word care or to be anxious is actually used throughout the New Testament in both a positive and a negative sense. In 1 Timothy 2:20, Timothy had a constructive concern for the church. He wasn't worrying about the church. He had a care. And his care was born out of his relationship with Christ. It was born out of understanding what God wanted in his church, and therefore he was very concerned about having the church become what God desired for it to be. Paul knew that he was going to pray, he was going to witness, he was going to counsel effectively when that concern, when that care was upon him. There are aspects in which, saints, God wants to give us a concern and give us a care. Can I have some help here? I need to be out of the monitors. I'm killing myself up here with the monitors. And anyway, if I don't know if there's a way we can kill those. I wonder if I just do this. They're gone. Okay. I love that control. All right. Anyway, I hear myself in my head. I can't hear myself out of speakers. It just freaks me out. Timothy had this constructive concern. And saints, we need to have a constructive concern. When's the last time you allowed a concern for the church to drop you to your knees? See, a lot of times what happens when we start talking about having a concern for the church is we have a concern for the church or we don't like something that's in the church, and therefore what do? Do we drop to our knees or do we complain? You see, our problem is we go the unbiblical route and we go right into complaint. And we complain to one another rather than what God wants. And what God wants us to do is that to have a constructive concern, we're to drop to our knees and begin to cry out to Him for what is going on. Now, if there's a need to talk with an elder, to talk with me and to say, hey, I've got a concern because I feel that there is a scriptural problem. See, what happens in churches is this, and what happens in our Christian lives is this. We get used to the complaining mentality. And so we don't like something in the church. And I'll be honest with you, 90 times out of 100, it's music. Either it's too modern or it's not modern enough. or it's this way rather than that way, or there's too many hymns, or there's too many praise songs, or there's too many of this, there's too many of that. And you know what? Last time I checked, we have not sung an unscriptural song in this church. We don't sing stuff that's not in agreement with Scripture. And the amazing thing is it causes instability in the body. And it causes instability in God's church. Do you realize I talk with pastors on a regular basis because we kind of hang out with each other and commiserate with each other. Maybe we should all drop to our knees together and respond biblically, right? Do you know what the number one complaint among pastors is? Music. And it's the worship wars. In fact, that's what actually some people have called it. The worship wars. And I think Satan is just laughing his head off. That he's got us to where we each have our own preferred kind of music, and then we're just going to kill each other over it in the body of Christ, and it's going to create a tremendous amount of instability in God's church. Because rather than have the power of God's Spirit on whatever kind of music we're going to choose for that kind of week, we decide we're just going to complain about it. And what that does is it grieves the Holy Spirit. And then you have that sense of things just being pushed down, and there's not really a freedom, there's not really a joy. And I've found this, saints. I've found over the years, I can be rejoiceful and joyful in any situation I find myself if I choose to respond to that situation that way. If I allow my concern to be over biblical issues and not over preference issues. And therefore, I can go to Second Pres when we go down to Second Pres for their conferences, and they have a different style of music than we do. And I can sit there and worship God right in the midst of it. I can go to a more traditional church, and I can worship God right along with them. I can go to a church that's kind of off the heezy kind of church, you know, kind of dancing around and having, just kind of really a little more wild than my preference. But I can find myself being able to worship amongst them if I don't allow my preference to dominate me, create worry, concern, and actually I get concerned or careful about my preference. And then I begin to complain in my heart, and then it's gone. The work of the Spirit in me for that service is pretty much gone, except for one thing the Holy Spirit wants me to do. Anybody know what that is? Repent. Repent of my attitude. Paul says here, be anxious for nothing. He's talking about far more than just that particular issue. But saints, we need to be careful. We need to be anxious for nothing. And we need to allow God to put in us that constructive concern. And that constructive concern drops us to our knees. That constructive concern moves us to pray and to intercede and to search the Scriptures. And if there is something patently unscriptural, then we cry out to God. And then if necessary, we go to authorities that are involved so that we can see God move the fellowship and move our lives in a biblical pattern and in a biblical way. But where the problem comes in, and Paul, by the way, is using this verb in such a way that he's saying the Greek construction here indicates that they were worrying. They were filled with care. And he was forbidding them to continue their habitual worry and their habitual over-concern with things. And let me say, the worry can come to the point of worrying about money, worrying about food, worrying about your kids, worrying about your spouse, worrying about tomorrow, worrying about our country, worrying about the election, worrying about this, and just being consumed with it. And what Paul was saying is, look, you are building a habit of worry, and he says, stop it. He's not saying stop it in a way that he's trying to be mean or unkind to them, but he's saying this is deadly for you. It will kill the work of the Spirit of God in your heart and in your life if you find yourself being driven by the destructive kind of worry. False care, this destructive kind of worry, is a false care. Jesus said we are not to worry about the basic necessities of life because our Heavenly Father said He would provide for them. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Can I get an amen? Have you ever been there? Why should I worry about tomorrow? I'm having enough trouble with today. And saints, the problem is we find ourselves consumed and moving into these circles where we're doing this destructive kind of worry, this destructive kind of concern. Scripture makes it very clear that this destructive kind of concern, this destructive kind of worry, is caused by a lack of faith, by a wrong set of values, and by a wrong set of priorities. If you are worrying, you are in sin. If you are worrying, you have a lack of faith. You don't believe God's going to take care of you. You don't believe God's going to meet your needs. And by the way, what happens so many times is when you get into that state, you therefore think, I've got to try to take care of things myself. And you begin moving in your flesh. You begin moving in your own wisdom. And believe me, that can cause far more problems than just waiting on God and watching God's hand provide. You have the wrong set of values. Usually when we find ourselves consumed with worry, it's this. We're worrying and desiring things that God does not want us to desire in the first place. I know that sounds wild, but that's what many times causes worry in us. We've got a bad set of values. We've got a bad set of priorities. Our priorities are not on this. God said, if you have food and you have clothing, that's it. You got it. And beyond that, we're not to be concerned. You know, right now, there are concern-causing things that are being put out in every paper. They're called ad circulars. And what you do is you start paging through them, and when you started paging through the ad circular, you were kind of content. You weren't really worried about having something or not having something. But by the time you get done with that circular, suddenly there has been a set of priorities and values that have been placed inside of you. And suddenly you think, I cannot live unless I have an Xbox 360. I cannot live unless I have this. And suddenly you're worried about, well, can I get this? Can I have this? Or you know, maybe it's boots or shoes or a gun or a tree stand or whatever it is. Whatever it is that you find yourself seeing in that circular and you say, man, I wish I had that. And suddenly discontent is poured into your life. And as that discontent rises, suddenly you're no longer trusting God for what God promised He would give you. You're worrying about whether you can have everything that the Joneses have. And by the way, you know what the problem is with keeping up with the Joneses? The Joneses are just as miserable as you are. You just think because there's a fence and there's grass on the other side, it's greener. But I can promise you today, both sides are wet. And the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. Folks, we spend our time thinking we got to have this, we got to have that, we got to have this, we got to have that. And I'm sorry, but right now our elected officials are saying, go out this Christmas and spend. Let me give you a different word from God. Go out on Christmas and give if you've got the money. Don't bury yourself in debt, because you know what that creates? Worry in January. Far too many of us have a wrong value system. We have a wrong set of mores that are driving us, and as a result, we are filled with this sense of lost concern. We are warned that such cares, such worries are like weeds, and they choke out God's word in our life. Because remember, there was the seed that was sown on the thorny ground. And as the plant grew up, it couldn't bear fruit. Why? Because it was choked out by the weeds. Well, Jesus tells us later what those weeds are. And it's the concern about worries, it's the concern about things, and it's a desire to be just like the world. And as a result of that, we're consumed with those concerns, we're consumed with those worries. And you know what happens when we suddenly get consumed with the world's values and the world's worries? We forget about what God's ultimate purpose and desire for us is. And saints, I'm going to be honest with you, it's to take the gospel to our world. It's to take the message of Jesus Christ to people who don't know Him. It is to live in such a way as to bless others. But bottom line, Jesus died and resurrected from the dead to pay for our sins. Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected the third day so that He could provide salvation, so that He could provide His blood to cover the sins of the lost. And what God desires for us to do, you want to give something away at Christmas? Give away Jesus. But when we find ourselves consumed with the cares that the world has, it will choke us out so that we are not fruitful anymore. 1 Peter 5:7 says we are to cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. What are we to do whenever we have cares? Cast them on Him. Throw them on Him. Say, God, I've got this desire. I've got this worry. I've got this concern. You know what, Lord? I'm going to throw it on You, and I'm going to realize, and I'm going to get in Your presence, and I'm going to find out what You want me to have on my heart. I love the statement. Well, I'm just a worrier. Well, you're a sinner too, but we don't need to hold fast to that, do we? When we say I'm just a worrier, we're basically saying, well, you know, the concerns that come upon me, they are what drive me. They are what rule my life. They are what will control me. And guys, let me say this. The Scripture says we're to have the Holy Spirit controlling us. And in just a little bit, actually next Sunday morning, we're going to find out the very things we ought to even be thinking on. Is it true? Is it right? And you have that whole list. Honorable, pure, lovely, good repute, excellence. Anything worthy of praise, you are to dwell on those things. Saints, when you have worry come up, when you have this concern come up, if you want to live a worry-free life, you've got to get to the point to where you've got to say to your worries as they come, and they will try to affect your mind, and then they will try to get into your emotions. And once they've got your mind and your emotions, you're goner, aren't you? You're just sitting there going, man, I'm just worried. I'm just worried. I just don't know what to do. This morning I woke up and I got ready and I started driving to church. And I had probably a spirit of depression start to try to come on me. Christmas is an interesting time for me. And a lot of times during Christmas, I'll just kind of let myself kind of slide into this little bit of a depression. Don't know quite why, but it just kind of happens from time to time. And this morning, as I was driving here, getting ready to teach this, I thought to myself, you know what? I believe I'm going to put this into practice. And these thoughts started coming into my head, trying to depress me with this situation. I'm not going to tell you what situations are. I can just tell you this. If you had them all going on at once, you'd be depressed. So, I had this one and this one and this one and this one, and they're just kind of coming at me and talking at me and barking at my brain, and I'm just sitting there going, and I felt myself kind of falling into that feeling of, I just feel depressed. And I just went to the Lord. I went to the Lord with it. And by the way, we're going to find out that's what you're supposed to do. And I decided to go to the Lord with it. I said, you know what, Lord? I got all these emotions, got all these thoughts that are just going crazy in my head right now. God, I want to submit myself to You. You are God. And Lord, I'm going to praise You, and I'm going to seek to get my mind where it needs to be. And I'm going to set my mind on You. And God, I'm going to make a request on this and this and this and this. And by the way, Lord, I'm not going to be able to handle these things unless I have Your Spirit and I have Your power. And God, therefore, I need Your grace. And so I'm going to lift it all up to You. I'm going to leave it at Your throne. And God, thank You. You are the God who's going to be able to get me through this. You are my God. You are my King. So therefore, Lord, I'm going to set my mind on You and Your sufficiency rather than me and my circumstances. And what God did was He lifted me out of those feelings. And suddenly those thoughts no longer dominated my mind. Now, let me take you to the next part. And by the way, what is the scope of this worry when you get to the destructive worry? Well, it says, be anxious for nothing. And the literal in the Greek is, be anxious for not one thing. You want to know what kind of negative and destructive aspect of worry you should have in your life? Not one thing. Nothing. And so Paul says, but the second thing it says, be anxious for nothing or don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now let me share with you what goes on here. There are four kinds of prayers mentioned here. It says, but in everything, by prayer, and there's our first word for prayer. That word is the word prosuche. Okay, if you're taking notes, it's P-R-O-S-E-U-C-H-E. And what it is the general word used in the scriptures for worship. I know that because when I was in seminary, during my second year of seminary, actually my second year of Greek, which was my second year of seminary, I did a word study on the word proskuneo. And it was 68 to 70 pages long, typed. So I know this word backwards, forwards, inside, out, upside, downside, every way you could look at it. And one of the cool things about it was that one of the ways it was described and one of the words that it actually comes from in its root is the root of a dog fawning upon its owner. Now, I have a dog. He's real small. His name's Stuart. And then Anna Marie and Charity are going to have their own house soon with a friend of theirs. And they have a dog that's a baby, and it's like that big. And his name is Bruce. I love both Bruce and Stuart because they teach me about worship every day. They teach me what it means to worship God every day. And I think all of us, when we come to worship services, should be more like dogs. Now, here's what I mean. I come to my house and I open the door and I see a tiny little shadow underneath the door. That's Stuart. Because if it were Bruce, there would be no shadow anywhere. Bruce is a baby. He's like 10 weeks old. He's going to be a small moose when he grows up. But my girls want a dog that will protect them, and Bruce will do that. And Bruce is practicing on Stuart. So pray for poor Stuart. As he did. Of course, Stuart's a stinker. He'll go up and try to do ankle injuries because that's pretty much all he can do. So, but I love how my dogs teach me about worship. I go in the morning and I let out the dogs. I let out Bruce and I let out Stuart, and we go outside, and the first thing they do is they're jumping on my legs and they're all excited and they're about, and they just come and they go, "You're here! You're here! This is so cool! He's here! I like him! Pet me, pet me, pet me, pet me, pet me, pet me." There you go. When's the last time you came into God's presence? And you were like either Bruce or Stuart. So I think we've gotten to the point where we're so cultured. And we consider ourselves religious folks. And we think it's really not all that important to be all that excited about worship because it's a sacred thing. God uses the word proskuneo. You know what proskuneo means? You're here, God, you're here! We're so glad you're here! God, you are awesome! And then we say, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. It's that easy, guys. But our problem is the spirit of Stuart and the spirit of Bruce do not come over us. The spirit of a cat comes over us. And we walk into the auditorium and we slide up against a chair and it's like, I'm here. You can put food in my bowl, but I might eat it, I might not. And yes, I am a dog person, okay? I actually had a cat named Bob. I would let Bob, yeah, they named him Bob. My kids named my pets really interesting names. Elisha wanted to name a dog Leon. No, that was a cat, wasn't it? Yeah. Bob would meow at the back door, and I would go to let him out the back door, and I would open the back door, and I'd say, "There you go, Bob," and Bob would look at me and go like, "You're so dumb," and he'd walk back in the house. He would do the same thing when I would want to let him in. He'd meow at the door. I'd open the door. He'd look up and see it's me, and he's like, and he'd walk back in the yard. So I'm a dog person. I open the door. Stuart! He comes running. Bruce! He comes running. And he's so excited to see me. Saints, when we, you want to know what causes spiritual stability? When you get ready to be worried and consumed with your worry, don't be a cat. Be a dog. Run into the presence of the Lord, and the first thing you should do is worship Him and praise Him. And say, God, I'm about to be worried. I'm so glad You're here. Take care of me. Scratch me behind the ear. You'll scratch my belly and tell me everything will be okay. And saints, this is so important for us because Jesus started the whole model prayer with, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. That means holy is Your name. That's worship, guys. And the reason we need this is the whole reason we're worried is we've taken our eyes off God, right? The whole reason we find ourselves consumed with concern is we're not looking at Him. We're not in His presence. We don't understand who He is. We don't understand His glory. We don't understand His provision. We don't understand His love. And so the first thing we ought to do is get into His presence and worship Him and remember who He is. Second thing it says is with prayer, and then it says supplication. That word supplication, it's a Greek word, and it just simply means that we're desperate. We're crying for help. The word diese means to cry out arising from a desperate need for help. And so we come into God's presence and we worship Him and we remember who it is, and then what He wants us to do is say, help! How many of you have ever gotten to that point where you're in a situation where something is so overwhelming you that you really had the sense to come into God's presence and go, God, help! And I don't know if you realize this, saints. God says that creates spiritual stability in your life. Not instability, stability. It says, do not be anxious or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. We come in and worship Him, and then we cry out and tell Him we're needy. It says, with thanksgiving. And so the thanksgiving part is also a stabilizing effect in our lives. We realize, saints, do you know this? Nothing happens in your life by accident. God is absolutely sovereign over everything that ever happens to you, and He is using it for His glory and for His purposes. So no matter what happens, and by the way, we're commanded at least twice in Scripture to thank God for everything. We should come into His presence. Oh God, it's You. Thank You that You're here. God, help me. Oh God, thank You. Because this is actually working for my good. This is not a bad, horrible, awful, terrible, depressing, yuck situation. This is a God-given, God-directed, God-purposed, God, it is in His hands, and He will use it to bless you if you will get your eyes off yourself and your circumstances and realize who is the potter and who is the clay. See, we're pots, and we're on that clay thing, that wheel, and we're yelling at the potter, I don't like that. Don't want to be a pitcher. I would like to be a cup. Please, I like the imperfection that's on that side. Leave it there. And we don't thank Him because He's making us into something beautiful. And even if it's marred in His hand, Jeremiah told us He can take it and reshape it into something beautiful. So that means this, even if your life's a mess, even if you haven't been submitting yourself to God, and even if everything just seems like a wreck, know this, God can take even a marred piece of pottery, pick it back up, put it on that wheel, and mold it into something valuable and something useful. But you've got to be thankful. And then finally it says, let your requests be made known to God. And by the way, requests is just the word aitimata. It means a specific petition or request made to God for something that you need. You realize where the request came in? See, we always think prayer is you come to God and you say, I'd like this, 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 I'd like this. Thank you. We're done. Many times not even thank you. Sometimes we leave it with, and by the way, God, I need it way sooner than You seem to be delivering lately. And saints, what we need to get to is the mindset that says, no, I am in the midst of worry, concern, things that seem to be eating me alive. What I need to do is get into God's presence and go, oh, it's you. You're awesome. By the way, did you know that I'm like incredibly needy? I was driving to church today and I'm like incredibly depressed because I'm concerned about this and this and this and this. And you know what? I just need to see you instead. And now that I see you, by the way, I need you because I'm a putz. I don't know how to handle this stuff on my own. And by the way, God, now that I'm beginning to see this, thank you. Because these things are working so as to take out of me things that are not like Christ and to see me conformed to the image of your Son for your glory. Glory unto glory unto glory. So thank you, God. And then when that happens, we go, oh, and by the way, Lord, and you know what's really weird? Your requests change, don't they? Suddenly it's like, well, yeah, that didn't seem to be as big of a problem as I thought it was when I first came. But Lord, I need you to do this and this. And by the way, God, when I came into your presence, everything was about, would you please fix everything so I can be at peace and I can be happy? And unfortunately, that's the way we treat our Lord many times. But when we come and we get into his presence, suddenly we see things in a whole different light. We see it according to his purpose and his plan. And we go, you know what, God? Now that I see it, this is really my request. And this is my request. And God, that I thought was so incredible, that's really me, isn't it? That's an imperfection in me. That's an aspect of my character that needs work. That's where I'm really being ungodly. Thank you, God, for allowing that in my life. Using it to expose my sin so that I may now come to you and say, God, grant me grace, not that they would change, that I would change. And saints, sometimes when we make requests, it's so that things will change. Sometimes it's so people will change. But oh, saints, we got to realize many times, I don't know with you guys, but with me, far more often it's so that I'll change. And that'll change everything. Well, what are these requests to be made in? Well, it says, in everything. So we're not to worry about not even one thing. We're not to allow that destructive concern to come to our lives. Not even in one thing, but in everything, we are to walk through the process of praise, acknowledgement of our need, thanking God for our situation, and then making our requests unto Him. And then what He says here is just this. We get a threefold peace. He says, first, the peace of God. It's God's peace. It's a theological, justified peace. It's peace with God, saints. It's the fact that we've been made right with God by the blood of Jesus Christ, but it is also a daily, practical peace. We need the practical application of God's peace in our lives. And when we come to the Lord like this, it displaces the anxiety of man. It displaces the anxiety of our society. And as one commentator, Dr. Henderson, stated, it allows us to have the smile of God reflected in our soul, even in our worst moments. Let me say this. You may not even have a smile on your face. You may have tears running from your eyes. You may be still in pain. But the smile of God is upon your soul. And your mind, your will, and your emotions are submitted to God, even in the midst of what might be very, very difficult circumstances. Again, Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We've got to get our eyes off of our circumstances and onto God. Secondly, what kind of peace is it? It's a mind-blowing peace. It says, the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. This is foreign to the unsaved. It is totally foreign to the experience of an unsaved person. When a believer rests in God's presence, when we give things like this to God, there are times we can't even really verbalize what's going on. Can't tell you how many times I've talked to believers that have said, you know, this has come upon us, and it just seemed like it was going to crush us. It was going to crush me individually. It was going to crush our family. But we've turned to the Lord, and we can't explain why, but we're at peace. I've seen people at peace in the midst of terminal disease. I've seen people at peace in the midst of difficult circumstances with their family. I've seen people at peace in the midst of horrible financial circumstances. that just seem to come upon them. And their peace comes not because they're focused on their circumstances, but so that they take their eyes off their circumstances, place it on praising God, confessing their need, thanking God for the situation, and then making their request. And God suddenly floods them with His peace, and it is an incomprehensible peace. Jesus in John 14:27 said, "I give you peace, not like the world gives do I give you peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be concerned." Oh, what a glorious thing when God gives us His incomprehensible peace. The last thing we see is this. It's a sentinel peace. Paul uses a military term. It says, "This peace that passes all comprehension, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." First of all, that term guard is a military term. It is used of a garrison of soldiers. It's used of sentries that are on duty. In that sense, Paul used this same word with the governor of Damascus who sent a garrison in order to apprehend him in the book of Acts. We see that that peace stands guard over us. Just as the soldiers of the Praetorian Guard stood guard over Paul, keeping him in protective custody so that he could not escape, so the peace of God will stand vigilant in the child of God. And what is so awesome is it says the peace of God will guard your what? What does it say, saints? Your hearts and your minds. And that's what we've got to be careful not to see given over to the work of the enemy, that work of worry. And so the peace of God, as we continue coming to Him with that praise, with that acknowledgement of our need, with thanksgiving, and also making our request known, that peace begins to watch over our heart to make sure that our heart does not become bitter, to make sure that our heart does not become weighed down with concerns, to make sure that our heart stays fully in submission to God and says, "God, what I want is what You want." And saints, that goes back to the worry because we've got the wrong priorities and the wrong things that we're seeking. The Holy Spirit guards, the peace of God guards our heart and keeps it safe. But then it guards our minds. I'm curious, how many of you would feel comfortable with saying, "My mind was attacked at least once this week trying to disturb my peace"? Just raise your hand. Oh my gosh, that's almost all of us, isn't it? It's like, this is common. Oh, saints, don't be a cat. Be a dog. Don't let that concern come on you and just kind of, "I don't know, it's kind of whatever." Run into God's presence. Worship Him. Confess your need. Thank Him. Make your request known. He will guard your heart. He will guard your mind. And how will He guard it? He will guard it in Christ Jesus. That is a power that cannot be matched, saints, anywhere. So I'm going to go to application quickly. Number one, in application, who you are trusting, this is so incredible. Because what we're going to get down to here is this, saints. You want to know how we apply this? I need to ask you a question. Who are you trusting? Because who you are trusting is going to be reflected. Are you trusting Almighty God? Or are you trusting yourself, the world, some scheme, some aspect that you've got to where you're going to try to make it on your own? Number one. Who you are trusting will be reflected in how you are concerned. Do you have a constructive concern that centers around the will of God, the Word of God, God getting what He wants, God's will being accomplished? Or do you have a destructive concern, worry? And by the way, if you've got worry, you're not trusting God. You're trusting yourself, you're trusting your money, you're trusting our economy, whatever it is, you're trusting in that instead of Almighty God. Number two, who you are trusting will be reflected in whether you are praying. Jesus said that we should always pray and not faint. Leonard Ravenhill said, one of two things are happening in your life. Either you're praying or you're fainting. Just as clear as day, isn't it? Either you're praying or you're fainting. Either you're praying and you're putting these things in God's hands and God is giving you grace to deal with the worries and the concerns and the things of life, or you're just basically passing out over and over again under the weight of it all and trusting something else. Who you are trusting is reflected in whether you are praying. Saints, if we're not praying, Leonard Ravenhill said this, if you're not praying, you're playing. And unfortunately, if we're just going to play church, it's not really going to be effective at all in actually manifesting the character of Christ in our lives. Number three, who you are trusting will be reflected in whether you have peace. If you're trusting yourself, you're trusting the world, you're trusting the economy, you're trusting your business, you're trusting your wife, you're trusting your kids, you're even trusting this church. Let me say this, if you're trusting your pastor, and I'm the one you're going to rest on, I will mess up. Not that I'm trying, but I will. I'll let you down. And you will stumble, and you will struggle. Your trust needs to be in Almighty God. Your trust needs to be in our Lord Jesus Christ. Your trust needs to be in the Spirit of God as He teaches you the Word of God and helps you to walk by the power of God so that you can look like the Son of God in your character and your actions. So I just end with this. Who are you trusting? If you're trusting Christ, you will have spiritual stability. If you're following the pattern of not worrying but taking everything to God by the prayer that we talked about, God will yield that peace in your heart, and it will actually even guard your heart and mind. If you're not trusting in the Lord, I can tell you most likely you're filled with worry. You're not really praying, and if you are, it's kind of more complaining at God, not actually talking to Him and receiving from Him. And honestly, you're probably consumed with a lack of peace. And you'd just love to get a little bit of peace in your heart and your mind. May God give us grace. I mean, I don't know if you guys know this, but we live in kind of a crazy world. I don't know if you know this, but Jesus said, I'm going to give you peace like the world won't give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. May God give us grace, saints. And I know I've used this, but I'll just leave it with you because I hope it sticks with you. Don't be a cat, be a dog. Run into His presence. Want Him. Desire for Him to feed you and take care of you and get you through all of that. And if you're a cat person, please don't be offended at me. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank You. I mean, this is something that happens to all of us, isn't it, Father? When I ask for people to raise their hands, how many had a thought that tried to disturb their peace this week, God? My guess is if I were to ask for a follow-up question and I would say, how many of you have had a thought every day, we'd probably get almost the same ones. And just to say, how many of you have had multiple thoughts during the day try to disturb your peace, Lord? Probably almost the same number of folks would raise their hand because, God, this is something that happens constantly. And Lord, it creates in us an instability spiritually. Father, help us to be those who take our concerns, those destructive ones, into Your presence and pray. And God, what I love about the passage is it says, whether it's a constructive or a destructive, we have the same response. Go to God and pray and cry out to You. And trust You, God, to be the one who delivers us from all of our fears. God, Your Scripture says to me, they looked to You and were radiant. Oh God, let the glory of God be seen in our countenance, in our face, in our attitude, in our actions, in everything we do. God, this world wants to know if Jesus really works. And quite often, Father, they are looking at us and seeing how we respond to the things in our life. And God, that's how they make their decision about what they're going to do with Your Son. God, let us look to You and be radiant this coming week. And may Your grace so abound that, Lord, whether we are in good times or bad, whether it is happy or sad, whether it is easy or, Lord, it is so hard we wonder if we can take our next step. May we find ourselves, Lord, not with the destructive worry of the world, but with the desire to get into Your presence, to run to You, to worship, to confess our need. Lord, to thank You, and, oh God, then to make our request. And Lord, I would ask you to do one thing. Guard our hearts. Guard our minds. We need it, Father, in this society. Do that in Christ Jesus for the glory of your own great name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.